and welcome to Untold. Welcome back for another episode where we go behind the scenes and speak to founders of food and drink businesses. Today we have a fantastic guest I'm going to introduce you to in a minute, but just before that, I just wanted to say, if you're a fan of the podcast and enjoy listening to us, please do download, subscribe. It all helps. All the love we can get, we love it. We love you, so thank you for that. Today, a really exciting guest, someone that for me personally is a big rugby fan. I've been incredibly excited about recording. We have Mr. George Cruz. George has 185 caps for Saracens rugby team. He played for England 45 times, and he is, of course, a British and Irish Lions. He moved to Japan, and at the same time, he'd co-founded a game-changing wellness company called 4-5, which has a range of products from CBD right the way through to nutritional supplements. Without further ado, let's get to it. George, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's great, mate. It's good to see you. I guess if we can sort of get into it and kick off, if you can give us a bit of colour around your career so far, how you got to the sort of journey that you're on, and then bring us up to date as to where we are, and we can crack on from there.
So, like a life elevator.
A life elevator.
Yeah,
pitch,
nice,
exactly.
I like it. So, started playing rugby when I was about eight or so, and then really from there, I was kind of, I just did all the school usual bits, and then just dive straight into professional rugby. North London club called Saracens. Stayed there for 14 years or so. Managed to play like you sort of a good chunk of games. Good, you know, win a good few trophies there, international as well, and then the Lions. And then like around just before 30, I thought we went to Japan for a World Cup. I thought this is a pretty tidy place. Something which is. Have you been to Japan?
Haven't. No.
Yeah. I thought this is mad, like pure madness.
Yeah.
Bit of mayhem. I thought I need a piece of this. So moved out to Japan for the last couple of years, and then the last sort of 6 weeks or so, I've pulled the pin on rugby. So decided to retire after, you know, good sort of 6 months of considering doing it. Yeah. And diving straight into business. So we've started a wellness company about 3 years ago. So it was for me, it was a really nice transition.
Yeah.
A company called 4-5 do like heaps of CBD and wellness and vitamins products. For me, it was like a nice little transition. I think we're in the sports area, like a lot of the time it's that, sort of that cliff edge. So I've just tried to prepare myself a good bit before that, so that I guess I've got that decision whether I can do it or not,
yeah,
when I want to do it, instead of like hobbling around, you know, holding a load of injuries for ages. So that's kind of my life pitch there. Done.
Amazing. Yeah, quick. Love it.
Yeah. It's been good speaking to you. Cheers.
Yeah. Where can you buy the product? Here and here. Amazing, man. It's great. And that we were talking just before we hit record about the transitional period moving over to Japan and sort of loving it like that is an experience itself. I'd love to just kind of dive into that. Or I can't imagine the change in culture shock, like everything when you get out there. It must be pretty wild.
Yeah, madness. Like I don't really have many other words to describe it as just extremely different. Like the amount of people have asked, what's Japan like? I can only say extremely different. But for me, and I know like a lot of people throughout their sort of, I don't know, 20s, 30s, imagine go at some point, oh, it'd be nice to do something, live something abroad. And I guess I was in a very comfortable position at Saracens and at England, sort of was still getting selected for both. So it was a bit of a ballsy, brave call to go and do that.
Yeah.
But something I'm so grateful I've done. And I went out for 1 year, stayed for two, and then had the hard decision to turn down another one and come back and focus on business. But I'm a huge advocate for it now. I think it kind of promotes mindset now, which is like, oh, well, actually, if I want to try to do something else, it strips down that barrier of like that thought process of, should I, could I do that? It was a big move. But again, like I spent probably 2 months there in the 2019 World Cup.
Yeah.
So got a good feel for what it would be like.
Yeah.
It was madness. Yeah. Pure madness. Food, culture, just everything. You know, you can't go into a shop and buy clothes because I'm 6'6" and everyone's not 6'6". And like your your XLs are not XLs, they're smalls, and your 4XLs are probably larges. So like everything. There's a thousand different stories a day. You think in your mind, you just think, wow, that's extremely different. And like good and bad, different. But yeah, it was brilliant, a proper experience. And I think I was craving that. I was craving something different. I know there's heaps of people who, like I said, do crave that at some points. Yeah. You know, whether they've been in a job for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years.
Yeah.
Like the grass isn't always greener.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
It's worth taking a punt.
I guess especially in that line of work as well, with the rugby and as an athlete, you kind of have that sort of path that's been trodden before in terms of kind of working your way up from club level up to international level, and then you kind of stay in the international point to get to the next World Cup, get to the next World Cup.
Yeah.
And actually to pulling the pin on that and going, you know what, I want something different, I think it's great.
Yeah, tough. And like, even small things like, so I'd have done 45 caps or so.
Yeah.
Like the big thing, you know, I get looked at, why don't you stick around for 50? I was like, well, but that would have been another season. And, you know, there's always, a lot of times there's an excuse, maybe like a really good, valid reason, it's not quite the right time. Or, but yeah, sometimes you've just got to pull the trigger. And I understand, like, even some who went out to Japan, you know, did not like it because of, you know, you've got to pick the right team, you've got to pick the right areas and such like that. But yeah, I land on my feet there in terms of, you know, good team, good people.
Yeah.
Get to meet a load of Aussies, Kiwis, Japanese, South Africans. Like, just the right mix of difference, really. And I think, especially maybe, I'm sure yourself, like, you probably speak to, you know, 5, 6 people, and you're very, like, a lot, what, 80% of your time or whatever.
Yeah.
So with rugby, it was like, pretty much 90% of the time it was just speaking to the same sort of 50 guys. And it's just quite like, you never really put your head above, you know, and see what's happening elsewhere. So for me, it was an attempt to try and just a bit of that, really. And it ticked a lot of boxes. It was easier on the body, shorter season, so I could do more business. Good package out there, so it was brilliant. Really worked out.
And with the business, where in the sort of life cycle of the rugby did that come about, and how did that sort of come about?
So it came in start of 2018. WADA, which is the World Anti-Doping Association, so like we get tested as athletes, and you'll get drugs tested and so on. So WADA took off CBD off the World Anti-Doping Association list. So an athlete, you could take CBD then. So I guess from us, it was a point of, we both had, January I had a foot ankle operation, Dom, the other co-founder, had a knee operation in February. So we're just looking for legal things we could do to get ourselves back fitter, really. That's the name of the game in professional sport when you're injured. Got really good benefit out of CBD, and I guess off the back of it was a bit like, well, if we're gonna start like taking, I guess, cannabis based products, we at least need to know that like they're, you know, tested properly and so on. So off the back of that, we just started a company, basically. And now fast forward a few years, in Boots, going into Tesco's at the end of the month. Got, like, it's thousands of athletes have used the products and so on, and active people, and like more of a wellness brand now. So we've got some multivitamins, fish oils, Bartix, hydration tablets and so on. So good range of products, really it's interesting. It's just like pure learning the whole time, you know,
because
obviously I've been in one discipline, which is, like I said, very insular, very sort of in one sort of, you speak to a certain group of people the whole time.
Yeah.
And then you go to a place where, you know, you're pitching people in Boots with, you know, a broken leg and black eyes and stuff. And you quickly find out, wow, that's a different life. The thing I've loved, and I'm like a quite curious person, like to Japan, all that sort of stuff, is I quite like learning, quite like seeing different stuff.
Yeah.
And the amount of people, yourself, like the amount of people you get to meet and so on, amount of different areas as a startup you'd have to dip into, and marketing and sort of finance and MPD and like heaps of different areas, which is just, it's just a fast track of learning, I guess.
Yeah, it really is.
you've got to get it right, otherwise you die. So
And what I love about, just on that, on the startup culture at the moment, is when you're in it, it's just amazing because everybody is so happy to pick up the phone and answer a question. And like, there's been times for us where we fast tracked the business probably 6 months because I've just been able to have a conversation with someone that's done it. And you're like, this is amazing. I would have had to like scramble around in the dark for six months working out how to do it. And it just happens there. Have you always sort of had an itch, like the business kind of side inside you? Do you think from a young age you always kind of had an itch that you wanted to scratch with it?
Yeah. Probably sounds like dirty rash, probably. I think so. I think our club salaries, they did a good job of making sure people did stuff off-field. So very progressive at that time. Like anyone under 25 doing something, trades course, university, whatever it was, they shifted them out the door to make sure they were doing something, which was, for a professional sports setup, was definitely unheard of back then. I think a lot of clubs, lots of different sports, are now seeing that, you know, seeing the benefit of that. So for me, I did a business degree. I did enjoy it. I loved it. Sort of, like I said, scratch an itch or itch to scratch. I can't think of that one out.
Mate, so am I.
I'd say definitely on the, what do you call it, academic side, not really, just sort of intriguing, curious side, definitely. It's got me there.
Amazing. No, I think it's great. And it's a pretty sort of natural segue into a kind of wellness company from your background, right? Were you always interested in the kind of nutritional side of things as well? Like, I mean, obviously you have to be as an athlete, right? But more so than just for yourself, kind of on a wider piece, what interesting new medicines and stuff like CBD can do to your body to kind of improve the fitness and the recovery?
Yeah, like I think if you're in sport, like professional sport and any sport, like amateur as well, like if you want to be successful, then you've got to look at everything in your setup, really. And nutrition is a huge factor, especially maybe from myself, where I was when I was 18, I was very, very skinny, like very skinny.
Yeah.
So like that, I had that whole piece where I had to really embrace nutrition to sort of supplementation, like weights program, like all that side of it. I had to really attack that because I was quite skinny.
So
for me, I think that's probably embedded in me a bit. But when you start like looking, when you start getting your like formulators and doctors and nutritionists to look at like the formulations of what you're actually taking, look at these sort of things, you start to get a little bit more intrigued into it I'm consistently blown away with how good some people's marketing is compared to their product.
It is
phenomenal. And like, you know, as someone who previously hadn't looked into it or didn't know, like it's amazing what, you know, what a company can get away with from a marketing claims point of view and like good branding and so on, to then actually what's actually in their product. And sort of some of it is like, even the stuff that we were taking is like, some of it is full of crap, and you just look, but you look at the brand and you go, ah, fair play, you've done me there. Like, you have got a good marketing team. You are smart. So, for us, we're just trying to do stuff a little bit better, you know, in terms of like, we'll get there on the marketing side. But we want the product side to be bang on. We want to make sure that it's bioavailable, make sure the right ingredients, instead of like stuff like chalk, instead of, you know, so calcium carbonate would be chalk, and that's like in stacks of multivitamins. You know, you look at the shelf of, say, a Boots, I'd say 80% of it would be, 80% of the products would have calcium carbonate instead of calcium ascorbate, which is actually absorbable, sort of like those like finer details, which you can claim calcium, boom, tick, but actually, what are you taking? Like, will it just pass through? Will it even get absorbed?
Yeah.
Or is it just one big, beautiful marketing like play, you sit there and think, oh, actually it could be easier to sell like a cheaper product where you don't have to really explain it, and you just do it through like beautiful graphics and sort of this side of it. It's a lot, it would be a lot easier, I tell you that. But I think, like, you know, we're in a background where kind of want to improve, want to have the best bits. So I think it does it's the right thing for us to do.
Yeah.
I probably feel a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Doing it.
Well,
the other way.
If you're putting your name to it as well, you want it to be. I think that's where.
Yeah.
That's what I love about what you guys are doing, from a branding perspective, because there's instantly an element of trust because you're at the helm.
Yeah.
In terms of you've been through it, you have used the products to recover, and I think that's amazing. And I think, to your point again, in Boots, a mass market consumer, like I will take supplements, but not in a way where I really know what I'm putting inside my body, right? Yeah. So I'm a sucker for exactly that, and I think it's just outrageous that companies get away with it, because it's even multivitamins. You just go and pick up a multivitamin.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do any research in that. I just look at a multivitamin on shelf, stick it in the basket, away we go. That's it, job done. Like,
but even like a hard tablet, like most of them are like, they've got a small layer of like plastic coating, and you know, it's like, takes forever to digest and get through, you know, or most of it doesn't. So it's just like, there's just heaps of different stuff, like a tablet compared to a capsule, and like what's the absorbability rates and all that sort of stuff. So it is it's super interesting once you get down to it. But like you say, like the product's got to sell at the end of the day, and you can't, if we're on a shelf in Boots, you can't have someone standing there going, oof, don't take that one. That there is crap. And talk to them for 10 minutes. You know, it's got to sell. And that's all part of like the marketing story. I guess if you're trying to deliver a better product, it needs more explanation, it needs more education, and all that costs as well. So you're fighting against brands who are killing it on a cheaper scale, but they're, you know, but they can put more into marketing because their products, and so on. So it's good. It's a good fun battle we're having. And I think, like, once people understand that and sort of they get you, then they're a bit more sticky. But it's just it's what marketing is. It's what growing a business is. You've got to find the right way to the right people, and
absolutely.
And we're all learning that, I guess.
I think it's great, and the kind of younger consumers, younger generation coming through now with the rise of sort of TikTok and all that sort of jazz. So, like, I think any startup in the food and drink space has to be like that, but certainly if you're in the nutritional space, because that people will see straight through it now. Like, there's like all it will take. I mean, I can't imagine if you were to take some of the big corporates out there and some of the shit that they've had PR wise over the last, I don't know, 50 years, if TikTok was around, that'd be cancelled straight away.
Because
it just wasn't around, so they're allowed to get away with it. And I think that the building something in this space now, you have to have roots in place, otherwise it's just not going to grow, and it's someone will come and just pluck it straight out of the ground, right? And so I think that's great. I saw on your website you do some work with Dr. Elizabeth. Where does that sort of sit in? Is she key part of the team?
Yeah, like you said, we've probably got a bit of trust element from like the professional side. But I mean, if I was trying to explain to someone that I've been doing rugby for 14 years and then I've just miraculously formulated a clean off brilliant product, I'd be like, I've got no clout in there. Yeah. So. We've got like nutritionists who Dr. Elizabeth is a brilliant one who create really good formulas. So that's their input. Because otherwise, it's not me and Dom in the kitchen with like a couple of pots, a bit of turmeric, and what goes well in here, you know?
It's jokes. I've got friends of mine who are like, oh yeah, did you start it in a kitchen? I'm like, man, you don't want to eat anything I've made. And so is production sort of outsourced then? Is that with a co-packer or?
Yeah, so formulation wise, obviously we'd do all that side of it, and we've got, because of like some of the testing bits we've put in there in terms of Informed Sport, a company called BSCG, which all like tests for heavy metals, banned substances and so on, there is an element of like, we've got to get our get in the trenches a little bit there, but a lot of it is brand side, a lot of it is working with suppliers who can build products with us. Like, we wouldn't have a full manufacturing plant and so on. We're heavily involved in the whole process. So.
Yeah, of course, amazing, man. I think that's great. And how have you sort of fared personally with the change from obviously like come to retiring from rugby has been quite a recent thing.
Yeah.
How have you found that transition? Has it been something that, like, obviously you said earlier that you're kind of ready for it and you wanted something new, but how, I mean, it just must be just a completely different cultural shock, right? In terms of your daily routine and I guess having a bit more freedom. I was listening to Good Bad of the Rugby where you're talking about having your weekends back and like little things like that. There must be so many amazing bits, but also quite coming out of such a structured lifestyle must be quite weird to adapt to.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Like, I think the good thing is, like, I'd step-loaded a lot of it. So, with England, I'd have done 35 games a year. In England, I'd done 35 games a year. Like, full-on, you probably get 4 weeks off in the year. And, like, you know, you're looking at the gym program, it's just, like, week 46, week 47. You're thinking, boy, this is a long season. So, with Japan, the step-load process there is, like, it's a seven-month season instead of a... So then I got 5 months off to do business to... So that sort of stepping stone process was brilliant and sort of definitely pre-planned. And then, again, sort of between Japan and here and retiring, like, I was doing, you know, some good late nights there, sort of stepping up that side as well. So it was a gradual build-up process over 3 years to, like... So that there wasn't maybe a cliff face of, well, wow, this is superbly different, but... so I wouldn't say it's been like super hard or anything. I think the bigger thing is just like you really realise that the emphasis is like the business is yours, and that's like like coming back and reclaiming a bit with Dom and just going right. Well, you know, there's things we need to crack on here. We need to focus a bit harder on these. Sorts. It's like you're right in the trenches, I guess. But yeah, I think. For me, one of the better things I've done in the last 2 years is sit down with not a life planner, a bit like a I don't know, like a psychologist, but more on sort of a business sort of planning side.
Yeah.
So like they talk, like talk through there, like a coach. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. and talk through like. Just my 12 to 18 month plan. So when I was in Japan, I'm in an iron whether I should retire because I've got some good opportunities. You know, just sitting down and having a proper look at, okay, well, these are the sort of things I'm missing at the moment. These are the sort of things I want to try and protect. So a bit more family time, that sort of stuff. Body wise is something I need to take into factor. Obviously, finance is something I need to take into factor. Business, and just looking at that and doing a bit of like a bit of a business plan, really, self business plan.
Yeah.
I honestly found that if I could pass one thing on to, I don't know, anyone, I thought that is absolutely brilliant. Really give me a bit of structure around like making decisions, about committing to this decision. So even this morning I've had a club in South Africa sort of ring me up and be like, oh, look, we want to come back and play and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I can't, you know, like I've come committed to this, and it just makes it a lot more easier to make sure that like you're happy with the decisions. So I thought that was really good, and that to loop that back in terms of how did you find the transition, like it hasn't been a cliff face because I've known that I'm doing it for the right reasons. It's not impulsive. This is planned, and obviously any plan needs to be flexible. So like I could go off, screw this podcast, I'm off to South Africa to play but at least I've had a think about it, you know, in terms of like these are the reasons I'm doing this, and it's kind of set me in a bit of a foundation. So I strongly recommend that.
It's so much easier to look at life on that macro level as well. Like we've got Emma Hill, who is managing director at Lucky Saint, coming on in a couple of weeks.
Mm.
We were at
lovely.
Yeah, it's a great, great product. Love Lucky Saint, and they we were at Bread and Jam, which is like a startup festival. Yeah. And I was hosting a panel on sort of mental health and how you manage that while running a business. And Emma was on one of the people who we were interviewing, and she was talking about how she has like a pie chart. And each year she'll fill in this pie chart as to what she wants to get out of life. So grow the business, spend more time with family, like go on more holidays, et cetera, et cetera. And then she realises obviously that within that pie chart, not everything that she wants to do can fit. Mm. But it then allows her to like really like laser beam focused, right? What do I really want? Okay, maybe I can actually holidays are non-negotiable because I want two weeks with my kids, unlike no emails, no nothing. And then and it's a way that she, exactly what you're saying, how you can kind of just loop everything in. And I think it's great. It's stuff that I've done as well from a more, I think more from a kind of routine perspective, and we'll come on to like how you find switching off now, now that you're kind of all in on the business. It's something that we talk about on the podcast quite a lot. I'm terrible at it. I'll sit at home with my wife and we'll be watching a film, but I won't really be watching the film. Like, I'll be watching it, but I won't really be watching it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, just 100%. Yeah, you'll be thinking about, you know, what packaging screw up you've just made. And
Exactly.
How are you going to fix it?
And I think for me, what really helped was just making sure that I stick to that routine. We've got dogs. I'm like 6:30, non-negotiable. Yeah. And clearly looking at me, this isn't a 6:30, I go for a 10K run, blah, 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 blah. Founder sort of shit that you hear on a lot of podcasts. Yeah. It's mentally clear.
Yeah.
It's a walk with a dog is a bit of time for me to just kind of have on my own or with my wife, and we have a nice chat. And then we sit down non-negotiably. We sit down at the table to have dinner, so it's not in front of the TV or anything like that. And that becomes our little bit of time that... that's non-negotiable. I guess kind of where I'm sort of waffly going with this is how do you switch off? How do you kind of make that personal time for yourself that really is kind of in the moment and away from the business?
Yeah, I'm probably pretty poor at that at the moment. Like, even having tried to plan to make sure that there'd be good spaces. The beauty for me is that I've gone from a place where I haven't had weekends, so like weekends are brilliant. I know I can really I can dig into the week and enjoy that, but weekends I can do what I want really. I think from my point of view, the switching off side is exercise. I love it. And I know I've gone from a spot where I've done pretty much the same job, the same thing for the last 15 years. Like, similar gym programs, similar session plans.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you're tackling people, all that sort of crap. But now I get to do, like, what I want. I'm like, I'm on ClassPass and I'm just going, right, well, I'm going to do hot yoga today and see what that's like. I'm going to do freaking Pilates and just do stuff which I haven't had the opportunity to do, really.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a real good buzz out of that.
Amazing.
So, yeah, that'd be my switch-off period. But also... I moved to a place where there's like 11 or so within a kilometre ex or current lads that I used to play with.
Great.
So it's just mad. It's like there's always good bits where you can switch off with and crack on with. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think like having come back as well, because I've come back, retired, moved house, sold house, moved house. And then also got a new job, like as such. We prepared for the fact that it will be a pretty mental 3-4 months.
Yeah.
But I think, there'll be more. It'll be more structured.
And I guess as the business grows as well, you can put more structure in place for you to allow. Because you're in similar stage, I guess, to us in terms of business growth, and it's like you have to just be involved in everything.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, like, I'm very aware. I'm dyslexic, so I know. Chloe is brilliant at doing copy.
Yeah.
And so I'll always share with her something that I've written, even if it's an important email, and she'll have a little look at it, and vice versa.
And she'll delete it and then completely change it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, actually, the other day, what was it? It was Harry, download a plugin that corrects everything on your email properly. I was like, that was a great...
What's that called?
Growly.
Oh, God, they add hard on YouTube. I don't know if that's just a targeted ad because I'm typing stuff in the top of the YouTube bar. It's just like, what the fuck are you writing? They've gone, this guy needs this ad.
Amazing.
They're smart like that. Yeah. You probably get like completely different ads spree on you, but
amazing. No, so but it's kind of involved in every single piece, right? Whereas actually, as the business grows, it'd be quite nice to go, I know I'm not very good at this, so let's bring in someone that is a lot better at that than me so that I can focus on the bits that I know I enjoy, but also I'm better at. Hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Untold Podcast is brought to you by The Savorists. We're here to keep you jiggling at snack time. We have a range of mega flavour, loaded ingredient, real nutritious snacks. They taste absolutely banging, and we have a brand new range of crunchets, which are made from black beans, edamame beans, puffed rice, seasoned with a Thai chili and a sizzling barbecue. Yes, I promise you, they are as delicious as they sound. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Check us out at savouriest.com. Ta-da! I think just coming back to the kind of link between sport and 4-5, and we've seen certainly recent, even more so recently, a lot of, tragically, a lot of players coming out of and going into retirement, and now rise of MND and dementia, and it's really sad to see players coming out of an amazing career. There's a link there between CBD and is there a link is probably the wrong word I'm looking for, but there's a crossover here in terms of how the business can help international athletes. Is that the target market and the sort of driving force for some parts of the business, or is it more on a mass market level?
Yeah, I think obviously our foundations are in rugby and so on, but like I guess our target market would be someone who's active, rather than just professionals. Like there are stacks and stacks of professional athletes who have used our products or would currently use our products, but definitely our sort of our target market is for anyone who's active and who actually just wants product that does bits, you know, which is a bit more in tune. So. Yeah, I'd say that'd be our target market. Yeah, but there's a definite, like I said, definite link between the pro sports side.
And this is going to sound like a very basic question to you because you're in it. But for some of our listeners who don't necessarily know about the benefits of CBD and what benefit they can get from taking it, talk us through that and how you can kind of help people in their daily routine.
Yeah, like heaps. So we do heaps of surveys and so on. Three main reasons our customers use it: anxiety, so sort of stress-related bits, recovery, and sleep. Personally, I see huge benefit out of the sleep side. Like I was like, chuck one of those watches on, you know, the sleep watches, and then, you know, have a go for a week or two and see how you get on. But I definitely see a good benefit out of that. I think there's definitely just a movement between, you know, what has been and what is going. So a bit more natural, a bit more alternative sort of health medicine style. I think there's a huge movement in health and wellness at the moment. People like want to look after themselves. They're a bit more in intrigued as well. So they want to ask questions. They want to know more about like why, the what. And I guess within our bodies, there's a ECS system, which is an endocannabinoid system, which is like heavily understudied compared to, you know, say the digestive system or immune system or whatever. CBD is a cannabinoid, which interacts with that system. So it's like, it's all the research is pumping in now, but it's exciting bits. Yeah. And something I definitely think between CBD, even medical cannabis, like there's a huge area which I guess people have been using hemp and cannabis for thousands of years, and I guess in the last sort of few hundred years it was kind of banned and sort of not stigma around it, and I think now those doors are sort of opening up with the legislation dropping in a number of different areas. It's exciting time. It's really exciting time. A wide range of different sort of more alternative medicines are sort of coming back round, and people want to live a slightly cleaner life. I think people are
absolutely, and it's fascinating to hear how the way that you speak about it, and also the kind of credibility that you want to bring to the CBD sector, as it were. Like, there's a lot of brands out there. CBD's become a bit of a buzzword in some places, right? And it's kind of, people put a tiny amount of CBD, suddenly got CBD chocolate, drink, or a CBD
eye mask. I think, fuck, what? Dear God. Yeah, no, I'm with you, and that's if you look at like our ranges, they're pretty strict, you know. And I think, like, we, ultimately we want products to help people and do stuff for people. So they're pretty strict in terms of like delivery methods and so on. But yeah, like we've got a really, like I said, we've got a really good range of sort of multivits and sort of biotics, fish oils and so on, which really supplement it as well. So it's exciting. It's just, I'm really intrigued in to see where, you know, where nutrition, supplementation, sort of where that will go in the next 10 years or so, because, you know, there's heaps going on in the world, and I think people are a little bit more stressed, a little bit more, you know, they're going through a very different time to, you know, what people were maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And I've seen a lot on kind of personalised nutrition, and I think that space is going to be super, super interesting.
Yeah, like,
sort of delivered to you, and even being able to sort of on a further scale, kind of measure your own bloods and all that sort of stuff. And I think it's a really, you're right. I mean, it's a super exciting area and a great one to watch. I think for me, I'd love to ask a personal question, because I am a rugby fan, and I've been sat in the stands at Twickenham where you've been playing. Coming off a buzz, coming off a game, off the field, win or lose?
Alcohol. It's hard to dampen it otherwise.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
that's a toy. Come on, please, crack on.
No. Is it like, I was just going to say that the buzz that you get, or got when you were playing, and the buzz that you get with the business now, is there like links in there? Do you get? Is it
I thought you were going to say, how do you fall asleep?
No.
I like, you have to have like a glass of, a glass of wine.
That would have been a perfect time to say CBD.
Is
it a completely different buzz, or as humans, that kind of fight and flight response, is it a similar, like you going into a meeting with Boots, for example, but before you got the listings, do you get that kind of innate sort of like, oh, fucking hell, here we go, like similar to the way that you would sort of playing a game of rugby?
Yeah, I'd say like probably a bit more consistent as well. Like obviously the wins and the losses are like, you know, daily, you know, because there's always something like, oh, that's annoying. But then also you get like, you know, a review or an email from somebody like, oh, that's bang on, like that's, you know. So I think they like, you know, you get that big hit out on the weekend with sport, but I think, you know, the wins and the losses and sort of those hurdles are more regular. But in terms of buzz, like I said, I'm kind of, I know I have been plugging away for 3 years, but I'm sort of 6 weeks into a full time setup here. So everything's new. Everything's a bit of a buzz at the moment. But it is, obviously it's, you're gonna struggle to find, you know, walking into the office is probably not like running out in front of 80,000. Although yesterday we walked in with our touch rugby medals that we won last night.
Amazing.
And I got one of the office employees clapped. But that, the other eight just put their heads down.
That's
and sort
amazing.
of. Well, you know, you've got to wear the medal all day as tradition, but I don't think really anyone gave a fuck. But it was good, you know?
Yeah.
Another trophy.
Another trophy. It's amazing. No, I think it's wicked. And I think also as the business grows, I guess the wins and losses are personal now as well, right? Not that they weren't with rugby, but this is now kind of, you're all in, right? And I find with, we've just had a pretty big win, which we got signed off last week, and then an email came in.
Can we share it or not?
Not yet, but we, I'll tell you afterwards, but we thought it was coming in, and then I got an email, and I was like, ooh, is this not gone in? And I'd gone from like, being at 9 to being at like a -5. And then that afternoon it came in and I'm back at a 9 and I'm like, fuck me, I've been like that in the space of 2 hours. For listeners, I've just done a kind of up and down graph, as it were. And it's just for me, it's like I just find that relentless. But I also, that's what drives me. Like I live for that shit, that buzz of just kind of. And I can't imagine the buzz of going out at a weekend. What you used to do, but it's interesting to see the sort of connection.
I haven't really reflected too much on it yet, but I'll have to. I'm super privileged. Like I know it's a mad scenario.
you know, being out, especially like to a full Twickenham, it's busy. A full Wembley or something, it's busy.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. But yeah, that, like I said, it's extremely grateful for that opportunity as well.
Great, yeah, it's amazing. I think the whole, what I've loved from this conversation is the mentality that you have to life of just being like, actually, you know what? And I think if people are going to set up businesses, you have to have this slightly where you're like, fuck it, like I want to try something new.
Yeah.
It's a different stage in my life. I want to have this experience and live for this experience and give it my everything. And if it works, amazing. Mm. But either way, I'm going to have this experience under my belt and kind of move forward with it.
Mm.
I think it's brilliant. So I guess just kind of as we slowly start to wrap up, talk to us about the kind of future for 4-5, what your ambitions are, what you kind of in the near future, but also I guess kind of in the foreseeable, but also slightly longer.
Near future, we'll be doing a raise shortly, get a bit more cash under the belt.
Yeah.
But that would be mainly to help with sort of retail listings. We've got another couple in the pipeline looking like they could be good. And really just get stuck into, like, because we haven't like two co-founders, we haven't really had that like a strong presence in, say, London or so.
Yeah.
And so I want to be just getting out, doing a heap more events, meeting a lot more people.
Yeah, amazing.
And that's something that I'd be all right in terms of, like, enjoy speaking to people, enjoy like picking people's brains and so on and learning. So definitely that side. But yeah, I'd say try and grow 50-50 on D2C and retail.
Yeah.
Crack onto a good few more events and sort of push out the product SKUs a couple more in the next sort of 6 months or so. And then just take over the world, you know? That's the plan. Yeah. I think crack on. We got some operation bits in Norway and in South Africa, so like just continue to slowly chip away there. I want to enjoy it. The one thing, like, I definitely have learned in, say, rugby early doors was, like I said, very grateful and fortunate to have won a good few trophies at Saris in England. And I think, like, early doors, you're like, well, let's get that trophy, get the trophy, and, like, kind of bypass the journey process. So for me, it's like, right, I want to enjoy the journey. I want to enjoy, like, I don't want to just be like, oh, well, I'm building for a sell or a merge in, say, 3 years and, like, only focus on that.
Yeah.
Like, I want to enjoy meeting people, talking to people. Obviously, I'm not really experiencing that right here, right now with you, but, I want to enjoy the journey because it's so wildly different to, say, what I was doing. It's interesting.
Yeah, amazing, man. And that's the best bit about being a founder, right? Is that journey. It's so easy to get. We do it all the time where we're like, spoke about that win last week. We were like, for 2 years I've been chasing it. It comes off. And now I'm like, I can't wait to activate it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm already on to, like, why hasn't something else come through? Because you're like, got it, right next. And that whole process of just being able to slow down and kind of use some 4-5 products to help you do that is so key and really interesting. And so where can listeners find the product, you kind of connect with the brand as a whole? So give us that side.
Socials on 4-5 UK, so spell FOURFIVE UK. And then really online, 4-5.com, in Boots, in give it a few weeks. When will this go out?
Probably next week.
Yeah, give it a few weeks and we'll be in Tesco's. And
amazing.
Yeah, just get hold of us. Email.
That's great.
Like,
yeah.
There's obviously a lot of people who haven't tried CBD or still questioning or wanting to know more. So we've got heaps of site articles on our website. Have a good dig around. We've got great customer service teams who ask anyone there if you've got any questions. We can set up a code as well if we haven't. We'll set one up for 20% off. So we'll get that going. But I'd definitely recommend trying it, especially like if you're looking for a better night's sleep. Get one of those, like, watches, have a little go before, have a go after, see how you come out. But I highly recommend. Yeah, and sales pitch done.
Yeah, mate.
I'm not really a good salesman, you see. I'm really good at setting stuff up. I'm not a good salesman.
I think you did a great job. I think you've done a great job. And no, it's fantastic to have you on. Tesco's, just really quickly before we shut the door. What? That's huge. Is that the biggest sort of bricks and mortar?
Boots are in 400 odd stores.
Yeah.
But Tesco's is, you know, it's just different to Boots. It's a different, you know, sort of supermarket.
Yeah.
There's good potential there. You know, if we can get that right, there's heaps of potential. They can expand listings pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been something we're chipping away at that for a good while. You know, you just chip away, keep finding it, and keep building the brand, and then you get enough. You get something at some point. But It's exciting. Something amazing. We're looking forward to seeing.
Wicked. Well, look, man, thank you so much for coming in. It's been an absolute pleasure, and it's been great. And guys, we'll see you next time. Ta-ra for now.
Cheers.
Thank you so much for listening to Untold. As always, we are so grateful that you give us a little bit of your time.
We really, really are. And as ever, please do give us some feedback. We love it. So any reviews, please subscribe, obviously, as well. It helps us with the old ratings position in the podcast, wherever you download them. But yeah, please do let us know what you thought of the episode. We love to hear what you guys think.
And as always, this episode is brought to you by The Savourist. We make lip-smackingly delicious savoury snacks that can be found at www.thesavourist.com or the.savourist on Instagram and TikTok. Ciao for now. See you next time.